so awesome, and you know what that Eternal Father Navy hymn, near and dear to my heart. As we sing our anthem, which is the Armed Forces Medley, and this is an opportunity for us. We know Memorial Day is celebrating those that are not with us because they gave their lives. But we also want to invite any who have served, as the hymn or the song is sung from your branch of the service, if you would stand at that time. Thank you.
Testament lesson this morning comes from Acts chapter 1 verses 1 through 14 and can be found on page 118 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote all about that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. From the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon of Zelot, Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Christ is coming back. That threefold comment that we make when we celebrate communion, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. It's out of faith. It's a statement of faith. It is one in which we express true faith, as in Hebrews, faith is the hope for things not yet seen. If we look around and we read the book of Revelation and we know that there are so many things that are supposed to happen, the pestilence, the war, the inhumanity of humanity, and across time, across millennia, people have said at different times that this surely must be the end times, because all of the things presented in the book of Revelation have occurred. And everyone is always concerned with asking the same questions. They were asking it of Jesus in this passage. They've been asking it since time immemorial. When is he coming back? When are the end days? When is God going to? Because when you pick up a newspaper or you turn the TV on and you watch the news, and isn't it horrific? I mean, there are good things happening. Don't get me wrong. There are good things happening every day. There are acts of compassion. There are acts of mercy that are ongoing every day. Anybody have a family member in a nursing home or an extended care facility? Many of you do. There are countless acts of mercy each and every day, not just at Dockside, not just at Mespah, not just at Westminster Canterbury. There are countless acts of mercy and those acts of service that people are performing each and every day. You know, when Kim walks in carrying the oxygen tank or wheeling the oxygen tank for Ivy, that's an act of mercy. That's an act of compassion. We can do those things. We're charged with doing those things each and every day of our lives in the hope and the expectation that when Jesus comes back, and He will, that we're going to be with Him with an eternal body, a resurrection body, in a new heaven and a new earth. As Luke is writing Acts, we know Luke writes the Gospel of Acts. That's his first book. And as we look at Acts chapter 1, it begins with his address to a person named Theophilus. In this, the first chapter, the first verse, he says, "In the first book, Theophilus." Now, various commentators say Theophilus could be an individual, the name of an individual. It could also be an address to the entire church. Not just an individual, but to the entire church, the church of believers. And they weren't called Christians at this point. They were called what? Followers of the way. And what did Jesus say in John 14? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto me but by the Father." So in this, whether it's Theophilus, an individual, or the church, it's relevant today for us. And he speaks, he says, "I've written to you in that book," which we know as the Gospel of Luke, "about all the things that Jesus had done, all the miracles that he'd performed, all the teachings that he had provided, and what Jesus had done. He'd presented himself for the suffering, for the crucifixion, and we know that he gave up his life. He said, "I have the power to lay my life down. I also have the power to take up my life." And we know he does that in the resurrection. And we know because there were so many witnesses that saw it, not just the disciples in the upper room when he appears the first time, or 8 days later the second time and Thomas is there, not just to men but to women. Who does he appear first to? Mary, key points. So when we hear a number of people make a comment that the Bible is so male-centric, the great challenge is maybe they're not reading the whole Scripture. Yes, most of our Scriptures were written in a day and a time in a culture that was very male-centric. But I'm telling you, women played as much a role, if not a stronger role, in every aspect, Old Testament as well as New Testament. And they are not to be removed, not to be belittled, not to be lessened. Mary is the first one who sees Jesus. She's the one who runs and tells the disciples before they even see him. Mary is the one who gets that first. And there are many women who are there in the upper room and both of those appearances. Jesus appears to them as well as other men. But the point here in this is that Jesus' resurrection, his triumph over the grave, the power of God to restore him in a resurrection body, in a body that has properties that are not normal, in the sense that he was able to come into the room, even though the doors had been closed and the windows barred, he would show up and then disappear. On the road to Emmaus, he just shows up with Cleopas and the other man. And as they sit down to have a dinner, and he breaks the bread, and they recognize that he's Jesus, and he's gone. And this story talks about Jesus' ascension, because Thursday was Ascension Day. 40 days after Easter, we celebrate the resurrection, the ascension of God. But Jesus was telling them, and this is in verse 4, "While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. And this, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptizing with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." You see, Jesus came for a purpose. Yes, he came to go to that cross on Calvary and to die for you and for me. And yes, he came to lay down his life, and he came to take up his life again, to prove how Jesus was the instrument of the Father's love, grace, and mercy to each and every one of us. But He also came to empower us and give us a new covenant, a new baptism, a baptism not just of forgiveness or cleansing that was John the Baptist, water. Your soul and your heart and your body was dirty. You cleanse it with water. But Jesus, His baptism, the baptism that He gives to those disciples and to the new church, is a baptism of water and Spirit. It's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And just as always, you and I, because, you know, you read the Scripture, and you and I are right there with the apostles. You know, if we think, oh, I would have believed, I would have believed, if I'd seen those things, there would have been no question, no doubt in my mind. Excuse me. They're asking the same question. Lord, is it the time when You will restore the kingdom of Israel? Everybody wants this answer. Everybody's hoping to get that answer, like right now. And what does Jesus tell them then? And He's telling that to us now. Because you know what? When I said He answers prayer, yes, no, and wait, He's telling us we got to wait. Because He says, it is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by His own authority. But this, you will receive power from the Holy, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. Jesus does not tell us to say, He does not tell us to build it, a church, and they will come. This is not Field of Dreams. This is not a Kevin Costner movie. Jesus says, go. Not build it and they will come, but go ye into all the world. Go to Idaho. Go to Appalachia. Go to Russia, go to Africa, go to those places, go to Honduras, Guatemala, there too. He says, go. And when He had said this, and as they were watching, He was lifted up and a cloud took Him out of their sight. And while He was going, they were gazing up towards heaven. Because, you know, we would be just like that. We would be just like them. We would be, wow, that's awesome. That's great. And then, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you see Him go into heaven. And then it continues that what did they do? What did they do? They went back to Jerusalem. And they just went back to their normal lives, right? No. This is at 40 days. The ascension is at 40 days. Something is going to happen to them. Something that's going to turn the world on its head. Because 10 days from them, at Pentecost, what happens? Peter, that wonderful orator, that powerful speaker, that very highly educated rabbi, oh, I'm sorry. He was just a common fisherman. He had a lot of energy and a lot of enthusiasm, and oftentimes he went off the deep end. But at Pentecost, this promised power brought by the Holy Spirit enables Peter to preach a sermon that the world had never heard before. Because over 5,000 people that day received the power of the Holy Spirit, received the Holy Spirit. They were speaking in tongues, glossolalia. They were speaking in tongues. They had come to Jerusalem from all areas of the known world and unknown world at that point in time. And they were speaking in languages that were their native languages. And the miracle was that others understood, heard and understood those languages. That's a miracle. We get people in the United Nations and they all come together and what? They all need an interpreter. Every one of them's got something plugged into their ear, and someone else up there is, you know, when someone gets up and speaks, whether it's Czechoslovakian, whether it's Russian, Ukrainian, Malaysian, whatever, Pakistani, name it, even English, there's someone up there translating so someone on the other end can hear it. How powerful a communication tool, how powerful a communication vehicle is the Holy Spirit. Doesn't need electricity. Doesn't need years of education. What it needs is the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling in them. Then, now. Had a discussion with Alex and Stephen about their wedding vows. And a question came up, and it was on a word, actually two words, I do or I will. And the traditional announcement when, do you take this, Stephen, do you take Alexandra to love, to honor, to cherish? And the response is, I do. And their question was, well, what about I will? And it's only a word. What's the difference between I do and I will? Not a lot in a lexicon way, but think of this. Exactly. Think of this. When we accept Christ at that moment, the Holy Spirit comes in. When they make that promise and pledge their troth, I do. Now. From that moment on, not, well, I will someday when I get around to it, or when it seems convenient, or when it seems expedient, I do. When those two angels or two men in white were standing there watching the gap-jawed apostles and all of those watch Jesus ascend into heaven, he's saying, go and do what Jesus told you to do. Go to Jerusalem. Go to Samaria. Go to Judea. Go ye into all the world and preach and teach what? The Word of God. And to do what? To make disciples. Disciples of whom? Of Jesus Christ. What? For a purpose. The Methodist, our pledge is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for what? For the transformation of the world. Because I'm telling you, the world needs transformation. The world needed transformation 2,000 years ago. The world needed transformation 1,000 years ago. The world needed transformation a day ago. The world needs transformation today. And it will need transformation until Jesus Christ Himself from 1 Thessalonians, the trumpet sounds, the clouds part, and Jesus descends, and we all rise to meet Him. And then we'll have the new body. Then we'll have the new earth. But not till God's ready. But until then, you and I must do what it is that we've said we will do. At our baptism, at our confirmation, and each and every time we find ourselves in a place where we've lost and fallen away and we come back. Because you know what? God's all about forgiveness. He's all about second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances. And I can keep counting. Long past, I've ended with all of my digits. I could even take my shoes off and keep going. But I won't. He is coming back. Believe it. And act on that faith today. It is really what you do out of faith that demonstrates and shows a faith. Out of faith. In whom? In God. Shalom. Peace. Now, before we do, actually, I'm going to switch up a few things. David, since Warren's not here, if you would come up and stand in for Warren as our lay leader. And Eileen, I'm going to ask you to come forward. I'm going to ask the congregation to open their hymnals to page 38. Oh, that's large print, so it won't be the right page. You don't. Okay. Now, you are coming into the United Methodist Church. You have been baptized, so you've already made your profession of faith. So we know, and she plays a flute wonderfully, right, Becky? Violin, no. Somebody will be playing a flute at my funeral later. But Eileen has had come. And Mickey, if you feel you can come forward. And anyone else who wants to come forward and stand with Eileen as she joins us. I knew Terry would come up. Not just because we're neighbors. And we're going to start here because you're a member of the Christ universe. And really, all you have to do is say, I will. This is one of those differences between I will and I do. Because you've already said, I do, when you were baptized. As members of Christ's universal church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do it all in your power to strengthen its ministries? As members of, and this is your comments to her, so we all get to say this. As members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and witness? That there's going to be a change later. They're going to add a witness, so we all get to say, I will. Members of the household of God, I commend to you, Eileen Crittenden, to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We respond. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we remember you, welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, established you and strengthened you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. And I welcome you to our church.
Thank you.
And for... And there will be a suitable time for everybody else to welcome her to the church in the social hall after the worship service. With cookies.